My name is Bhaskar Goswami. I am 44 years old. And today, August 4th, 2018, I'm speaking with my lovely partner, my soul friend, greatest love, biggest blessing in my life, Caroline Goyer, the mother of my daughter Uma. And we're recording this interview in Montreal, Canada. So, first question. Is there anything you want to ask me that you've never asked me before?
For this interview. A question I've never asked you before, which I would like to ask you. Ooh, that's a tough one. Not really. I always ask you as they come along. You might want to put a pause.
Just to say, that was not planned. The first question was not meant to be about myself. I think that's a random question. But let's start the way I want to start. Let me start, actually, because if you have any question, you can ask me anytime. But a more meaningful start would be, let's talk about your childhood. What were you like as a child? And some of your earlier memories.
Some of my earliest memories of me being a child was I was very curious and curious about people and how people lived, reacted to different situations. So I was myself a great listener, and there's a French expression which is sage comme une image, which means you're there, the person is there, is so calm, and you're almost like a page in a book, you know, in the sense that you're not talking back. And I was often referred like that because I just enjoy being in the presence of people and listening to them. And so as a child, I wasn't much of a... people would say I'm a very timid person when I was young, very introverted, and so that's one thing. Also, one of the biggest recollection of my childhood is me being very creative and artistic and coloring, always coloring. If you couldn't find me, odds were I was in a corner coloring with my crayons, my anything I had, even painting. I took some painting lessons when I was around 6 years old. Some oil painting. I've always loved to draw, color, come up with something artistic. And we have a family country home, as you know, by the lake, about 3 hours away from Montreal. And I was every weekend we were there. And in the summer we were there even, you know, 2 to 3 weeks for the whole summer. And very often I would spend my time in nature, and I was very comfortable in the forest. For me, the forest was a friend. And when we were up north, if it was raining, I'd be indoors drawing and coloring, and if it was sunny, I'd be outdoors in the forest. And sometimes even when it was raining lightly, I'd be out there all dressed up and equipped to be in the forest. And I found ways of occupying myself in a way, with leaves and fruits and pretending I was cooking and pretending. I love to look at leaves and what could I use them for, and flowers, and so very observing. When I close my eyes and think of myself as a child, I see myself really in that forest which today as an adult, when I go back in that forest, there's almost, I'm a bit worried, a bit scared, because I haven't been in it as I used to, you know, like I used to go every weekend, and now it's almost unfamiliar, like an unfamiliar friend, and so I don't adventure as much as when I was younger, and so I kind of miss it.
Where is your ability to listen, your creativity, your love for nature? Do you feel you were born with it, or were you inspired by your parents or grandparents or friends or siblings?
No, I was born with it.
You're born with it?
Yeah.
How did the people around you influence you or inspire you? Maybe you can tell a little about your parents or grandparents.
Well, my grandparents, especially on my father's side, or the ones we were closest to, when I say we, so my siblings, my older sister and my younger brother, because every weekend we were up north at the chalet or at the country house, they were also there. And so I got to see my grandparents very often. And they were themselves farmers, agriculture farmers, so cultivating vegetables and some fruits, especially vegetables. And so their whole life was dedicated to that. My grandmother had 6 children, and they lived on a farm north of Montreal. And so in Laval, which is the island north of Montreal, that's where my father was born and raised. And this whole island contains land of agriculture, and my grandparents had one lot there. And up north, when they go up north, they again did some agriculture. It's like it's part of them. So it was nice to sit next to my grandmother and my grandfather and just listen to them. And they knew so much about the weather. They never had to look at the newspaper or listen to the radio about, you know, the weather. They would just look at the clouds or the leaves, how they move in the wind, and just the breeze. All that, it was indications to them of precisely what kind of weather is coming. And they were right on target all the time, on the mark. And so, see, because of them, I was able to be outdoors and wanted to be outdoors. And because of my parents, too, my parents are, you know, in their younger days, they used to do a lot of sports. And so they were always outside as well. And again, the cottage life brought us outdoors a lot. And we often were either on the water, so paddle boat, canoeing, water skiing, or just, you know, going around in a boat. And fishing. I used to fish a lot with my father, which was a great activity. And I actually still have memories of me fishing with my grandfather alone, and coming back late at night or evenings when on the lake it was dark. But when, or rather, when you were not on the lake, you'd see it's very dark, and you know, you'd think you couldn't see anything. But when you were in the boat on the lake and looking out towards the cottage and all the other cottages, you could see very well. And so it was nice coming back home with our fish and knowing exactly where we were going towards the cottage, and the moon and the stars were starting to appear. So it's like beautiful souvenirs, which I wish for our daughter for sure. Mm-hmm. And our Jayaneva, of course, as well. So my parents are
Now. You know, I have so much appreciation for your parents. I think they're incredibly healthy human beings. And I recently read that the finest human being is a very good salesperson, like a really good salesperson is a very good human being. You know, when you're at that level, and both your parents were in sales and they were very good at it. So I'm just wondering what your impressions are. What did you learn most from just observing and being around your parents, and how they've impacted you even to this day?
What I could say is that at a young age, I remember my dad showing my brother, my sister and I how to handshake, how to do a good handshake. You know, nice and firm. You don't want it too hard and squeeze the person's hand, but not too soft that, you know, you leave an impression of being weak. But a nice, firm, comfortable handshake, the whole hand, all the fingers, the palm and everything. And we'd practice, you know, for fun. And it was just that. It just, for him, it was, he wanted us to just, you know, be comfortable with people and show your that you have confidence. And look in the person's eyes when you talk and listen to them. And so for my dad, who also wanted to be a teacher, so he was a great speaker, you know, and he was great at transferring his information, his knowledge, and showing how to teach, really. So how we could learn from that. So thanks to him, I think we learned a lot how to deal with people in a way, you know, how to approach people, how to be comfortable with people, and yes, to listen to people. And my mom is a funny person. Like she has an amazing sense of humor and a generous heart. My dad, for sure, as well. But I see him more as a patient, humble person. And so together, it taught me, you know, how to be resourceful, because as a confident person, you know, you just trust life. Mm-hmm. And so you find ways to help yourself. And when we fail at something, or what seems to be like a failure, well, there's the sense of humor that brings us back up and say, you know, you just pick up and go and laugh about it, which is a great lesson.
Your family has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah. My dad, too, is quite funny in a different way. my mom is very creative. So from her, definitely, you know, she would always acknowledge my creative side and my artistic needs, we shall say, and she supported that a lot, you know. So it was nice. She you know, sometimes we would do things together, and but I feel I remember mostly myself going out in the forest collecting things and gluing them together and creating all kinds of stuff, and I would come up with like different drawing techniques as well, so my own techniques, and I was all proud of them. So I love my parents and I appreciate them, and I'm so grateful that, you know, I had them as parents, or have them, because they're still here, super healthy, amazing.
I have image of you with your glasses going and making all the arts and crafts. It's so cute. Now, before we move on from your childhood, I'm wondering what comes up for you, if there's any particular, like a specific incident that happened in your childhood that you feel has shaped you as an adult. And this could be, however you frame it, maybe it was something that was a dark moment, maybe it was something that was an inspiring moment, something definitive that you go, yeah, that moment stands out for me in my childhood. Would there be such a thing?
That would be nice.
I'm thinking between, the earliest memory to, let's say, the age of preteen.
No, I can't say there was a definite, like, one moment. There's many moments. And, you know, sometimes the memory plays tricks on us. And in the family, I was the one placing our photos in the photo albums.
Mm-hmm.
So my memories tricked from the photos. Are they the memories I have? Are they real memories, or are they memories of through the photographs? You know, which is fine as well, because of the photographs, I remember stuff and I remember precise moments and events. So, if there was one moment in time before teenage or even after that really,
that gave you heightened feeling.
No, there were moments, like plural, and I'd say all of them were when I was outdoors in nature.
Very good. And now, how about this? Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influence on your life? I think I can guess one of them. She's sleeping upstairs right now. But maybe not, so I'll leave it to you.
Well, when you first asked the question right away, I saw my parents, I guess because I was just talking about them. They're the ones that brought me in this life, you know, and still today I talk to them almost daily just because they're so interesting. I've traveled to Moscow, Russia with them, and traveled a few times elsewhere with them, and they're just so much fun. Sometimes I'd rather call them up and do something with them than my own friends, because they're always enthusiastic, they're always in a good mood, and they embrace the awkwardness.
I know.
So they're just fun people to be with. So just that makes me a better person. Of course, recently the next biggest influence on my life was less than 15 months ago, I gave birth to our little Uma. And what an experience that was and is today. She is my Buddha. From her, I learned so much about letting go and how things change so fast, so fast. And sometimes it's difficult to embrace that change, and then sometimes you're like, well, I have no choice, it changed. So, yeah, and her growing so fast like that, that's a big change, you know? And so...
Can I ask, how do you feel you've changed since before having Uma and now?
Well, you know, now, because time is so precious, because the time that I have for myself or with Uma, you know, like before I need to feed her or put her to sleep or things like that, you know, the essentials. So besides that, the time is very calculated and scarce. So for me, the time, the whole concept of time, and when somebody asks me to do something or suggests to do something, or you know, in the past I felt like I had to do something to please someone or whatever it is, you know, whether for family or friends, today I don't care. Today I say no, I can't or I won't, because my time is precious and I'm going to keep it for a precious moment, a precious activity that I decide. So that's something that before I was always going with the flow of the events, and yes, I'll say yes to this, and it doesn't matter if I come back late, and it doesn't matter about this because of, you know, there's no real attachment to, well, not attachment, but no real strings, you know?
No dependence, yeah.
Dependence, yeah. So now definitely time is, I recognize how time is precious and important, and I want to spend good quality time with myself or whatever I desire.
I just want to say that you won the lottery of life with having such outstanding parents, and likewise passing it on, because Uma has the most outstanding mother. You're so incredible. So I just want to celebrate you for that. Now, it's a very similar question, actually. Tell me about a teacher or an other adult that had a big impact on your life while you were growing up. It's not your parents, of course, a teacher or another adult.
The one person that comes to mind and is it was a family friend, but we called him, to make things simpler, we called him our uncle. His name is Janu. And he was such a fun guy. You know, he always saw the bright side of everything. He owned a boat at one point, and like a mini yacht. And when the weekend that was planned for us to go as a family off on the, you know, on a big long boat ride and sleep, like we could sleep on his boat, of course. And if the weather was the forecast was maybe not so nice with clouds and storm or rain, he would say, don't worry, it's not for us, it's not going to happen. There's going to be sunshine, and he brought out, you know, the wine and the cocktails. At that time, he enjoyed his little cocktails during the day, you know, and he would bring us candy, and he had a love, a joy of life, you know, and, well, not surprisingly anymore, because it became a thing, you know, it's an expression, you know, or think of Jeannot, because every time our weekend was planned and it was, you know, it was supposed to be rain, it never rained. The sun was always there. It always came out, and or it would rain during the night when we would sleep, you know, it was like perfect time. So we never canceled our plans when we knew it was with Jeannot. So that was a big lesson for me, because I remember since I was a child when I knew him, and I loved that about him, because it was always fun and it was always light, you know, and it was always about looking at the bright side of things, and who cares if it's going to be raining, or, you know, or things are not going to go the way they were supposedly planned. We're still going to have fun because we're together.
Yeah.
And by him saying that the sun will be that for will be there, for me, that's what it meant. It meant that who cares if the sun won't be there even, we will be there.
Mm-hmm. It's like this hell-bent on having a good time. Yeah. It sounds like a Zorba, you know, like a character who's always finding pleasure in everything. From the greatest success to the biggest fiascos, comes out smiling.
Yeah. That's him.
How has that impacted you?
Well, it impacted me strongly, because today I still think of him, and the whole family still thinks of him, and we still, because he passed away now, tragically. He was you know, somebody that really loved helping people, and he helped the wrong person at one point. But yeah, so today, I still think of him, and I know that my parents and my siblings still think of him, and, you know, like, I rarely cancel plans, because it's like...
So, you rarely cancel plans because of Jeannot, okay?
Yeah, exactly. I know something will come out of it, even if you go camping, and even if you go camping and it starts raining, well, it'll be a topic to talk about later, you know? It's something fun. It's going to be an adventure, and we'll see what will happen, and our boots, our shoes will be all wet, and our socks will be all, you know, damp and cold. But, you know, it's temporary.
What a great outlook.
Yeah. We're going to come back and have a great story to tell.
Hmm.
As long as it's not dangerous, you know? Yeah. Then it's just temporary.
Yeah, we've been together for 5 years now, and... I know you're always like this. You're always positive, practical, you know, see the bright side, find the solution.
Mm.
You know, you don't get hung up so much on blaming or negativity. It's just take it in a smile and move on. And that's very inspiring for me.
Mm. Thanks.
Now, can you think of anybody in your life, you've always mentioned Jeannot and your parents, but anybody else who's been particularly kind to you? Perhaps not somebody expected. Obviously, an uncle or parents or teachers might be expected, but somebody who's just like, wow, that's very kind.
Mm.
And if they were here now, what would you say to them?
Like throughout my whole life, not just my childhood.
Oh, throughout your whole life now, yeah. Anybody. Just express the remarkable degree of kindness.
Well, I think that would be you, Ben. You're a very kind person. And you're just so nice, nice and polite and very eloquent, and you have a nice way of saying how you appreciate things in someone, and you have a very generous heart. Like, you're the one person that I know for sure, if you ask me, same thing, you know, somebody that's kind, I would add, and generous, that would be you. And from you, you're my teacher for a lot of things. And I'm grateful to be living with you for that reason. Sometimes with you, I understand better how to reply to some people, to some situations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm.
Hmm. You know, let me ask this question, because you live a deeper, richer life. It's not like you're distracted by the superfluous. You have a depth in how you experience life. There's a richness to it. You don't get distracted so easily by shiny things, you know. And in this sort of examined life, what do you feel some of the lessons you've come up with about life and your place in life?
So, yeah, people have always said or seen me as somebody very comfortable. Mm. Like what they say about our daughter, really.
Mm.
You know, by looking at them, she just looks at ease and comfortable. And my whole life, even today, you know, of course, there's been a little ups and downs and things like that. But in general, it's a beautiful life, very comfortable and easy ride for me. I'm very happy about that and grateful for that for sure. I forgot the question.
And any sort of life lessons that you've learned, or about, this is what life is about, or some insight into, say, your place in life and your purpose, or how your knacks and attributes fit into the bigger story?
You know, it's just a funny story, because my purpose, that question, what is your purpose, is such a, I find it limits us, because I don't have a purpose. I have many purposes, and all these little talents that I have together creates me. And you know, even in what I've studied in school, or you know, university, I have a few diplomas, and I have a bachelor's degree in something, I have a master's degree in something else, and I have a diploma in something else, and then I work in something else completely different. And different life experiences I've had around the world, and different jobs I've had and career. So it's like, I just go with what I feel deep that I feel like doing. It really ends up being that, you know. Like, I don't choose. I end up choosing whatever path is next, you know. Do I want to do this or not? Do I feel it deep inside? And if I feel, if there's like an enthusiastic, you know, shake inside, then I go for it.
It comes to like a feeling of enthusiasm.
Yes, strong feeling. I'm not scared about, you know, not having enough money or not having this or that. You know, I guess because, well, I was lucky that my parents, we never missed anything, we never lacked anything, so I don't have that fear of lack. So I'm sailing, you know, I'm sailing, and sometimes it goes somewhere a bit of a dead end, and then it comes back to something else. But there's one thing I know, is I think it goes more with the people I choose to be with. And my life lessons and different purposes in life go parallel with these people that I'm with, you know. Like, if I look back at my whole life till today, I have different books with different people. It's like almost mini lives with different people. And yeah.
each book carries a story, maybe carries a few lessons.
Exactly. And yeah, that's the first time give it that analogy, but yeah.
I think one thing that everybody will say about you, even if they've known you since childhood or just met you, is you're instantly likable. I mean, one would have to have a medical condition to not like you. You know, that's a very transportable skill, you know, plus the intelligence and everything else. You know, it makes your core skills very, very easily transportable, and that you use enthusiasm as a radar for what you wish to go towards. Now, let's say from here looking forward, what do you look forward to the most?
Just being with people I love. So, you know, right now, the people I'm with today, I'm looking forward to, okay, what's the next thing we're going to do together, you know? So if it's with Uma, her daughter, so it's like, okay, well, you know, I always, at the end of the day together, I thank her for the day that we've had together every day. And I repeat, you know, I remember with her, she can't speak right now. She's 14 months old. 14 and a half. So I say, we've done this, we did that, and thank you, you know, thank you for being there with me, and I loved being with you, you know, like I thank her like that. And
would you say that's one of the ways you have this wonderful, likable personality, because expressing gratefulness comes naturally to you, and you do this quite often?
I think I'm also likable, probably, to answer your question, probably. Also, I think people say I'm likable because from a very young age, I've always felt like I understood people. I felt them. Like, empathy. I think it's empathy, right? That I've had a very young age. Defend a lot of people, you know, around me, closest to me, I would easily defend them. I just felt them, so.
Very good. So, empathy, of course, a direct connection with how they are, seeing them and relating to them as they are, and not so much projecting as you are, this sort of a thing.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, that's it. I think why people will say that I'm likable is because I just accept them for who they are.
You do.
I could talk to somebody that is a CEO of a company and, you know, that stereotypical type, and to somebody that's the other stereotypical type of the other end, being, I don't know, like working in a warehouse and or somebody, a teacher, or different, who cares what they do. But I just have the ability to adjust and talk to them and feel them and, you know, and just accept them who they are. So, yeah, I have a boss that used to tell me all kinds of things and at our business lunch. And then he'd say, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I don't even tell my wife, you know. Business-wise, it was, of course, all business matters. So I think I emanate also confidence for them, you know. But, I mean, they feel comfortable in speaking openly.
I've noticed this about you, that you really have a very high spectrum of people you hang out with, age, gender, culture, sexual orientation, social status. It's like you can recognize their uniqueness, but you're speaking to something else. And I think that's one of the reasons that they really connect with you, because you can notice differences without identifying with it and speak to something else that's actually more common and similar.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm just going to go back to this part about the future. When you think about the future, it doesn't matter how long, maybe a day or 10 years, 15 years, 100 years, what feelings do you have about the future? Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel confused, doubt, clear? How is that for you? Or is it not even relevant?
I'll think of the future, but I'm not there yet, you know. And for me, the future is a comfortable place that I trust, and I just trust that. I really trust life.
Wonderful.
Bottom line is, I trust life, and I just know that even if there's going to be something that's going to be difficult, you know, to like a challenge or something like that, I just know that I'll come out of it even better, and learn from it. So it's actually being okay with it, because of course it's, you know, some, I've been in very difficult situations and thought that I would never get out of them, and had to consult at one point a life coach, you know, different things like that. But in the end, I see the light. I really feel like I'm okay. You know, like the Caroline story is running parallel to my deeper self, you know. And the deeper self is just looking at this smiling.
So wise. Actually, let's look at wisdom now. Who would you say are some of your influencers when it comes to wisdom? Any sort of any like a teacher or anybody resonate with that you say, yeah, this person or him or her, I really like where they're coming from and what they're expressing, resonate with?
There's a few people that I think, you know, but I have a bad memory with names, so I'm not really good at remembering their names or what they actually said. I confuse who said what. For me, that's not really that important, I guess. That's why I don't remember it. But just sometimes it's even a child, you know. I taught children for many years, as you know, and sometimes what they say is so wise. Is so deep and it's so like true and it's so simple. Sometimes the wisest things people say or discover are the simplest things.
Like that.
So there you go. So you know what, now I think I enjoy being with children. I actually love being with children. They're, like I said, simple. They see the bright side of things all the time. They're always happy. They always want to do things, you know. They are always trying, so they're not afraid of trying and have all these constraints of fear and lack and all that stuff. You know, they don't have that. They just go with life and let's see where we could, let's see what this does and let's see what this or that does and what about this. And it's, you know, something falling off a table is so funny.
Or the ball over and over again, throwing it.
Throwing over, and it's like if it was the first time they threw it. So
innocence, curiosity, being in the process, being in the moment.
And just joy, the joy. So yeah, some of my, maybe my biggest influencers were children. Beyond that, besides the Thich Nhat Hanh and the Dalai Lama and the Eckhart Tolle and Sadhguru and all the other ones that I appreciate very much. Nature, again, is my biggest influencer. When I am in nature, and it's not just looking at nature, but it's really you know, bathing in nature.
You're bathing, okay.
Bathing in forest and feeling it with all your senses. And
Bathing is a beautiful word, yes.
That, when you get to that level, you just understand life better. It takes just a little walk down, even to a park where there's a tree, you know, or a lake, a river, something with nature, anything, even looking at a flower without picking it.
I hope whoever listens to this gets inspired. And I hope there are some flowers and trees to look at in the future.
You could grow some.
You could grow some. Now let's look at this question of wish. Do you have any wish for yourself or for a loved one, or for humanity, or for the universe? Any wish that comes up for you?
Yeah, well, I just wish and hope that we will never forget. You know, that we'll never forget this being, the human love, human connection, human what we're capable of, and what you know, we're really meant to help each other and uplift each other and be kind with each other. And that and nature. So I'm a big fervent of you know, environmental development, and to help the environment for a sustainable life here on Earth. So I really wish and hope that for the future generations, they get to live, you know, and swim in our lakes and bathe in our forests. And yeah, that would be my biggest wish. Wishes.
Sustainable. Do you like the word sustainable or thriving?
Well, sustainable, and for me, go is in a cycle.
Yeah.
You know, I see like a wheel. It just continue, and it goes in pair with resilience.
Yes, yes.
So that the like life here on Earth can remain resilient. That's my biggest wish.
And it's a strange question. Are you hopeful for that wish? Do you find it's a
yes?
You're fairly confident this is going to happen.
Yes, I'm 100% confident.
Okay.
I trust in the human being, not even intelligence, but well, at a nuclear level. What we are capable of and what we really want.
You trust in human potential. So
potential. And what we really want, you know?
Mm.
We much rather a healthy life than a life in misery and fear.
And you feel the pendulum is swinging towards that now.
It always has. That's what life is. It goes from one side to the other, and it comes back from a positive to a negative in an infinity way.
Now, I know time is running out, so this is the question. It's, again, a very strange question, and a scenario. Yeah, heaven forbid, but it's going to happen. You know, you're on a deathbed, let's say. You know, you're coming to pass. Few breaths are left. And someone very dear to you and asks you, so what have you learned? You know? And you only have a few moments. What would you say to them?
Be kind with yourself. And love yourself, and that will, you know, emanate with others. It's like, if you're kind to yourself and love yourself, others will feel it and want also to be kind and love others too, you know?
Beautiful. Kind to yourself. Thank you for this interview.
Thank you. This is fun. I hope this interview, you know, will be heard for a long time with our children's children and children.
Yes. Interview. We had a little look inside the Caroline Goyer story. And what a privilege that's being captured in this digital time capsule. And may you, whoever's listening, I hope you found it to be a benefit. And we're so happy that you're here and listening. Much love.